Keep cool this summer when you shop ceiling fans at Menards. Upgrade your space with a quick install ceiling fan from Patriot Lighting. They're loaded with extra features that will make your ceiling fan install a breeze. Plus, they reduce energy costs, helping you save time and money. Save big on our great selection of ceiling fans. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. I was doing a little research the other day, and I came across one of the most terrifying haunted wood stories ever. Let's get right into it. This is the Church in the Woods. This story takes us deep into the woods of Texas. For over 25 years, Josh Turner had owned and operated a private security company based out of Austin. He had worked pretty much every kind of assignment you could imagine. Construction sites, abandoned buildings, and remote locations that most people wouldn't want to be anywhere after dark. In all those years, very little rattled him. One of the people he trusted most was his longtime friend, Gary Lopez. Gary had known Josh for more than 20 years, and the two had worked countless security details together. Gary would work jobs for Josh, and they had built a reputation of being dependable, level-headed, and honest. If Josh needed someone to cover a difficult gig, Gary was always one of those people he would call, because he knew the job would get done. Together, they had dealt with armed trespassers, plenty of dangerous situations, and more than a few strange nights in isolated places. They were experienced and thought they had seen and heard just about everything. Years later, both men still agree there's one job that stands out. One job neither of them has ever been able to explain. One they still describe as the most terrifying experience of their entire careers. So at the time, Gary had been working for Josh for nearly 14 years when Josh's phone rang with what seemed like a pretty great opportunity. A contracting company restoring a historic church deep in the Texas woods was looking for overnight security. The pay was excellent for this job, and the contract seemed pretty straightforward. Protect the property from vandals while the renovation crews were working to get this church back up and running. On paper, this sounded like just another security contract, except this job was not around the corner. The property was more than 50 miles outside of town, tucked away in one of the most isolated parts of the Texas countryside, aka in the middle of the woods. Before agreeing to anything, Josh was getting some more information and asked to see the location for himself. This was pretty standard. He didn't want to accept the contract without seeing exactly where this church was, walking the property, figuring out the layout, determining how many guards the job would require. He had a couple partners at this security company, but he would need to determine how many hours they would be working and what kind of security risks they may be dealing with. So after getting the address, Josh climbed into his truck and started the drive. The farther he went, the fewer signs of civilization there were. The highways became narrow country roads, which turned into winding back roads, and eventually he was driving down a single two-lane road, cutting through an endless stretch of forest. There are really no neighborhoods out this way or businesses. There's not even any houses that he's passing by. Just miles and miles of trees in every direction. So making a mental note, this will be a bit of a trek for his guys, and if something did happen out here, help wouldn't be arriving anytime soon. After nearly an hour of driving, he finally spots the entrance. It sat just off the roadside. He makes his way down the long gravel drive that disappears into the woods. He looks up in the distance, and he sees it. An old white church, standing completely alone in the middle of the forest. The paint was weathered, the windows were either boarded or broken. It's clear no one has been here for quite a while. There are weeds everywhere, pretty much overtaking the property. As he gets closer, he sees no trespassing signs were plastered all over the church's exterior. According to the contractor, the building had sat abandoned for nearly 20 years. Long before that, it had served as a historic Spanish mission church, welcoming worshipers from the surrounding area. But after decades of neglect, it was really just this empty shell hidden deep in the Texas woods. But this contractor was determined to change that. Their plan was to restore the aging church to its former glory and reopen it. The goal was pretty simple. They wanted to preserve this historic landmark before it was lost forever. It had so much history and had good bones, they did not want to demolish it. Looks around and there are endless woods in every direction. It's very quiet. As Josh pulls up to the church, he immediately feels that something is off. He says he cannot really explain why, it's just a feeling he has. And I think we've all experienced that at one time or another. You don't know why you feel this way, but you just have that really strange feeling in the pit of your stomach. He parks, he continues on, shakes hands with one of the contractors, and this contractor says, "Hey, let me show you around the place." So the two walk inside, and Josh learns something that caught his attention. The previous security company had quit just a few days earlier, which meant the church had gone several nights without anyone watching it. And as they walk inside, Josh immediately sees why security was a concern. The inside of the church was in complete disarray. Paint cans had been knocked over, splattering fresh paint across the wooden floors. Ladders were laying broken where they had fallen. There were construction materials scattered everywhere, and several religious statues and items had been knocked from their places. Josh sees one of the large religious statues had even toppled over, and according to the contractor, it had fallen unexpectedly and struck one of the construction workers in the head. They weren't even sure why or how it even happened. But the reason that Josh is there is because they believe this is vandalism. And at first glance, this is exactly what it looked like. But Josh cannot shake the feeling that something about this didn't quite add up. This contractor is telling Josh, "Yeah, we just believe that there are crazy teenagers or someone coming in the middle of the night and vandalizing the place." As Josh continues walking through the church, the contractor admitted that this entire project had been getting pretty weird. Not just the damage. He said it genuinely felt like something didn't want the renovations to be completed. Every time the crew made progress, something else would happen. Equipment would be damaged. Supplies would be destroyed. One of the guys would get hurt in some sort of random freak accident. The contractor can't make sense of it, but it really did feel like something was actively fighting against them. Two steps forward, four steps back type situation, and he just can't figure out why. Then the contractor shows Josh something that completely stops him in his tracks. Outside, beneath one of the church's windows, was this commercial-grade power washer. It appeared someone had thrown it from the inside out the window. There is shattered glass all around the ground outside of the church. But there was no glass on the inside, suggesting whoever had sent the machine through the window had launched it from inside. Josh walks over to the power washer and immediately realized how heavy it was. This was not something a person could casually pick up and throw through a window. In fact, Josh, who was a strong guy, said he didn't even believe he could have lifted that machine high enough to hurl it nearly 10 feet through a window. It was that heavy. Whoever had done this would have needed incredible strength. And that's when another detail began bothering Josh. He had been through countless jobs, and everything about the damage at this church seemed backwards. Instead of finding signs that someone had forced their way into the church, it looked like something had forced its way out. This is all just very bizarre because they're thinking these are vandals that are breaking into the church, but there are no signs of a break-in, only signs of a breakout. Despite this strange, uneasy feeling that he can't really explain, Josh ultimately accepted the contract because business is business. This seemed pretty straightforward. In fact, the contractor told him, "We honestly don't care if your guys are awake all night or sleep. we just need someone here all night until the sun comes up to keep the doors locked, keep an eye on the property, and if anyone tries to break in, run them off. So Josh calls several of his most trusted guards, puts together a schedule, and prepared to begin overnight security at the church that night. Also should note, they weren't asking them to patrol through the woods or complete any complicated security procedures. This gig seemed like, have a guy here every night, hang out. He can even come in and sleep all night and get paid good money. That sounded like a pretty good deal. But it would be just one guard in this empty church from sundown to sunrise. So Josh leaves the church, heads back, and gets things set up on his end. He tells the guys about the job and what had been going on, and gets one of his guys to head there that night. This was one of Josh's most experienced guards. He drove out to the church, got settled inside, and everything seemed fine. Hours passed. At around 4 o'clock that morning, Josh's phone suddenly buzzed. It was from the guard at the church. The text message was short, but urgent. Just said, I am leaving. There's a problem. I'm done. This place is insane. This man, one of his guards, had abandoned the job in the middle of his shift, something that almost never happened. Josh couldn't believe what he was reading. When he's finally able to talk to this guard and ask, what happened? Why are you leaving? This man is completely shaken. He claimed that at some point during the night, he had become trapped inside the church. The front door was stuck. He said it was like it was physically being held shut by some force. He could not open it. No matter how hard he pulled or pushed, he could not get out. Finally, one of the doors opened. The guard bolted, but whatever had happened inside the church that sent him running had frightened him so badly that he actually urinated himself. And there was mention that the place is haunted. There are ghosts there. Josh is like, okay, he's got to go back to his schedule and find another guy to cover the next night shift. Maybe the quiet and the isolation had gotten to him. So the next night, he gets another experienced guard to cover the next shift. This man agreed with no hesitation. No problem. He had worked isolated jobs before. This would be no big deal. He gets to the church for his shift. And then the next morning, Josh got another call. This guard had abandoned the church too. Josh asks him why, what happened, and he tells him that while walking through the church, he had felt someone grab him from behind. He spun around, but there was no one there. But he was so scared, he stumbled and fell over one of the pews, scrambled to his feet, and sprinted out of the church without ever looking back. He too said something along the lines of, that place is haunted and he is not going back. End of story. Now Josh is trying to figure out what to do. Two experienced security guards had quit the exact same assignment in two consecutive nights. He has a contract. He has signed it. He needs to find another guard. So Josh decided to be completely honest. He called one of his most dependable employees and said, look, I need someone to cover this job, but I should probably tell you. The last two guys have run out in the middle of the night, terrified. They are saying that it's haunted or something. This guard says, ghosts, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I'll be fine. Josh is relieved and wishes him good luck, sends him on his way. And wouldn't you know it, by morning, the exact same thing happened. He had run out of the church too. Fled. This guard said lights were turning themselves on and off inside the church bathrooms. He claimed doors would suddenly refuse to open when they were working fine just moments earlier. And throughout the night, he kept seeing movement in the woods surrounding the church. He said he saw dark figures between the trees, and he was hearing voices coming from the woods. This freaked him out because there was no one for miles. There should be no voices drifting through the woods at night. And like the other men before him, he left before sunrise and refused to work that job again. At this point, Josh had run out of guards willing to work this job. And the problem was Josh was actually committed to another overnight security contract, so he couldn't leave that site himself. So what does he do? He calls the one person he knew he could always count on, his longtime friend, Gary. Gary was solid. Josh calls him up and explained the situation and asked if he'd be willing to help cover the church for a few nights. Gary does not hesitate. He says, sure, no problem, I'll take it. So Josh drives Gary out to the church late that evening to start his overnight shift. Gary obviously is filled in about what happened to the other guys, what they're saying about ghosts and the place being haunted. He had worked so many jobs, he felt like he would be able to handle it. And Josh felt like even if there was something paranormal going on out there, Gary would be fine, saying he had been in many scary situations, and Gary was that guy that was never rattled. So he believes that Gary's the man to get this job done and be the one that doesn't let this get to him. They make the long, long drive out to the church in the woods. And Gary says as soon as he pulls up, yeah, he starts to get that eerie vibe. Josh drops Gary off at the old church, and then he leaves to head to his other job, just as it's beginning to get dark out. So now it is just Gary at the church alone, starting his first night shift. He walks inside the church, locks the front door behind him, and starts looking around. He sees the mess that Josh had talked about, noting there are empty bowls where there would be holy water right inside the entrance of the church. There are pews and statues all over. So far, so good. Gary just takes a seat on one of the pews and pulls out a video game, ready to kill some time. Hours pass and everything is quiet. Then, around 1 a.m., he hears footsteps outside the church. That unmistakable crunching sound, like someone is walking around outside, walking on the gravel driveway and around the courtyard. Sounds like they are circling the church. Gary immediately thinks, oh, I've done it. I have caught the vandal. So he gets up from the pew, walks over to the front door, unlocks it, and walks outside. He can still hear the footsteps crunching on the gravel. He calls out, hello, who's out there? He doesn't see anyone, but can still hear the footsteps. Sounds like someone is walking all the way around the church. He walks over and peeks his head around the sides of the building, pointing his flashlight down both ends. There's no one. Then the footsteps suddenly stop. He stands there for a few moments listening, thinking maybe whoever was out there had heard or seen him and had run back into the woods. He's looking, his flashlight darting through the tree line, but he doesn't see or hear anyone. Finally, he turns and makes his way back up the stairs, gets back inside the church, locks the door, and sits back down in the pews. A few hours later, around 3 or 4 a.m., Gary suddenly hears a woman crying outside the window of the church. This woman is sobbing. In his mind, he's thinking, who would be out here in the middle of the woods at 4 a.m.? This place is so far removed from any big city, he cannot believe what he's hearing. Again, he gets up, walks over, walks out the front door. And as he gets closer, he continues to hear this woman crying. He's outside, and he sees her. It's pretty much pitch black outside, so he can't make out her face or features, but he sees a woman with a long dress walking around the side of the church. Gary calls out and says, ma'am, are you okay? And begins following her. She continues weeping and walking, continuing to call out, ma'am, what's going on? Are you okay? He is almost caught up to her. She turns the corner, and a few steps later, Gary turns the corner, and she's gone. No more crying, the woman had disappeared. Gary thinks this is strange. Again, why would a woman be out here? There is nothing out this way but woods for miles. Looks out into the woods and doesn't see anyone. It's not like she ran out there. So Gary makes his way back inside the church and finishes the rest of his shift without any issue. It's sunrise and Josh pulls up outside the church and picks Gary up. Josh asks him, did anything happen? I'm sure he's relieved that Gary actually finished the night shift. But Gary tells him about the footsteps and then seeing the woman, but that was it. And Josh asks him, would you be comfortable working again tonight? And Gary is a champ and says, sure. Yeah, it was pretty weird, but the night before wasn't anything that scared him that badly that he wouldn't return. Again, he feels like whatever happens, he can deal with it. He can deal with some footsteps, the occasional creepy noise. So that next night, around sundown, Josh drives Gary back up to the old church and drops him off for his second shift. You may have picked up on this. Gary did not have a car at the time, so that is why Josh is driving him and dropping him off. Josh drives off. Gary walks inside the church, locks the door behind him, and sits down in a pew and starts playing his video game. And this is where things start to take a turn. Around midnight, Gary goes to the bathroom, and as soon as he walks inside, he sees the lights above begin to flicker. But Gary knows that they're doing renovations on the church, so he just figures this has to be something with them working with the electric. Then he hears it. It's like scratching. Sounds like it's coming from somewhere inside the bathroom. And then behind him, he hears it. Boom, boom. It sounds like someone is on the other side of the wall of the bathroom, pounding on the wall. This is freaking Gary out, so he runs over to the bathroom door, but it will not open. He is pulling and pulling, and he's a strong guy, but this door would not open. Gary said whatever was there was still trying to scare him. He keeps trying, and finally, the door opens. So it's obviously getting a little bit more intense than the night before, but Gary is determined to finish this job, so he sits back down in his pew. And an hour or so later, he starts to get pretty tired. He knows he can sleep on the job, so Gary starts to doze off. He's sitting on the pew with his arms folded and his head resting on his hands. There's not like a cot or a couch there to sleep on, so he's just sort of sitting up sleeping. Then around 3 a.m., he suddenly feels hands wrap around his ankles from behind. And these hands begin trying to pull him under the pew. Gary said the hands were rough and scratchy like sandpaper. Gary begins screaming. He's terrified, yelling as these hands continue trying to pull him under. Whoever this was incredibly strong, and he didn't know what would happen if he let it pull him under the pew and drag him, so he holds on tight to the back of the pew ahead of him. And as he's trying to break free of these hands, he looks up, and in the corner of the room, he sees a tall, robed shadow figure. Gary said he could hear it laughing. This hooded shadow figure cackling in the corner of room as Gary is trying to get free. He's pulling and pulling, and this goes on for 15 minutes. This was not a few seconds. This went on and on. The entire time, he is screaming, let go, let go. Finally, he gets the hands off his ankles. He breaks free. Gary jumps up, runs out of the pew, down the aisle, toward the front door. And when he gets to the front door, he cannot open it. Again, it felt like something was holding it shut. He keeps trying and trying. Finally, the door opens a bit and he's able to jump outside. He runs down the church steps. But remember, Gary does not have a car here, and it is around 3:15 a.m., so he is outside in the dark, alone, with just his flashlight. He's trying to catch his breath, his heart is racing, and he feels this pain, this ache on his ankles. He looks down and sees he has bruises in the shapes of handprints around his ankles. From this point, he frantically calls Josh and tells him about what happened and asks him to come pick him up right now. Josh knew that for Gary to say this and ask him to come pick him up, something bad must be going on here. Josh says, okay, I'm going to leave right now. I'm going to come and get you. Just stay put. And the more that Gary thinks about where he was, the more he realized just how isolated this job really was. The thing was, even if he decided to leave on foot, that really wasn't a realistic option. This church sat miles and miles from the nearest highway, surrounded by dense forest. There was only one narrow road leading in, and that same road was the only way back out. And he knows if he screamed for help, no one would hear him. There were no nearby homes or passing traffic. And this entire setting is so strange. This church is supposed to represent hope. It's supposed to be this place of light, of worship. It's a sanctuary where people gather to pray and find comfort. And in the daylight, it just looked like an abandoned church, but at night, it turned into a completely different place. All Gary can do is just sit quietly on the front steps of the church outside and wait for Josh. And as he's there, he begins to hear voices coming from the woods, from just beyond the tree line in the forest. He can hear words here and there, and he can make it out, and it sounds like Spanish. Gary sat there frozen. Finally, around 5 a.m., Josh pulls up. Gary is beyond petrified. He runs and jumps into the vehicle. Josh can see he is very tense and scared. Gary tells him he will not be coming back out here and that this was the scariest thing that has ever happened to him. So at this point, it is now on Josh to work this job. He had two partners in the security business, but it ultimately fell on him to handle this job. So that next night, he made the drive out to the old church to cover the night shift. Needless to say, Josh was very apprehensive about going inside. So the first few hours, he actually just parked out front and sat in his car. He watched the building, and to his surprise, it was very calm and quiet. Finally, after a bit, he had to use the restroom. So he walked up towards the church, and as he gets closer to the front door, he begins to hear footsteps. This time, it sounds like multiple people walking on the gravel, the sound of it crunching. He stops, shines his flashlight around, calls out, "Hello, who's there?" And then along with the footsteps, he begins to hear whispering voices from the woods. And he too can sort of make out what they're saying, and he hears, "¿Cómo te llamas?" Which is Spanish for, "What's your name?" Josh is very creeped out, so he quickly runs inside the church, makes his way to the bathroom, and he knows that there has been a repeated problem with the doors at this church, and he does not want to get locked inside the bathroom, so there was a stone right outside the bathroom door, so he takes it and pushes it over, propping the bathroom door open with it. This was a really heavy stone, so it would not move unless someone physically moved it. Josh made his way inside, went into a stall, when suddenly he hears the stone move across the floor, and then the bathroom door quickly slams shut. He begins calling out, "Hello, who's there? This is security," because he knows someone had to move that stone. It would not have moved on its own. And there's nothing but silence. As if things couldn't get any worse, it's around this time that his flashlight just stopped working. Of course it does. He walks over and begins trying to feel his way out of the bathroom because the lights also went out overhead, because of course they did. So he's in this bathroom alone in the dark, trying to feel his way around with his hands stretching out in front of him, which he doesn't really like that either because he doesn't know if he's going to reach out and touch someone or something. Finally, he finds his way over to the door, opens it, and walks back into the main part of the church. And he knows he needs to leave there immediately. And as he's walking towards the front door, he hears whispering again, and this time he believes it to be Latin. Soft voices seemingly coming from all around him, from all corners of this empty church. He runs over to the front door and take a guess. What do you think happens? Well, if you guessed it didn't open, you would be right. He is trying to push and pull, trying to open it, knowing all the other guys had issues too. Finally, he gets it open. He runs out to his truck and it won't start. It was like the battery had been drained. It was totally dead. He felt like whatever was there was draining the battery so he couldn't leave because his truck was running just fine before, but it would not start, so he locked his doors and just sat there. He's kind of waiting and waiting, and it's pretty quiet, so he decides to grab a blanket that he had in the car and covers himself with it and just sort of waits. At 4 a.m., he sees something moving out of the driver's side window. He turns and looks and sees a ghostly woman looking into his car window, staring at him. He sees that she only has part of her face. The other part is decayed. Then he looks ahead and he can see figures emerging from the woods on all sides, all walking straight towards him. Dozens of figures. And he can see the same thing with all of them. Their faces and bodies are covered with decay. He continues trying to start the truck over and over, and the entire time, all of these figures are just getting closer and closer to his truck. He begins to pray, "Please, God, let me get out of here." Finally, his truck starts, and he peels out of the church parking lot, back out onto the road, driving through the woods for miles, desperate to get back to the highway. He wants to get as far away from there as possible. He makes it back to the city and he reaches out to Gary and tells him about what he experienced. And they find out a bit more about the church and its history, saying that it was a Spanish missionary and over time the Spaniards abandoned it. And they learned something very disturbing. This place was used as a dumping ground for people with leprosy. And not just that, they burned down the church with people inside, and anyone who died before the fire was believed to be buried on the property in those woods just surrounding the church. Through interviews, they don't say the specific church name, but I did some research and many believe the church was located in Westphalia, Texas. I've searched through a lot of the Reddit threads on this haunting, and it's believed that this was actually called the Church of Visitation. And it actually burned down about 6 to 7 years ago, but it was out in the woods and had been there since the late 1800s. The exact cause of the fire that destroyed the church was ruled officially undetermined. Investigators found that the fire started in the southeast corner of the building near the south bell tower. But through the investigation, they were not able to pinpoint the source of the fire. So the church may be gone now, leaving just ruins, but I don't believe that the haunting ended there. Because if what all these witnesses are saying is true, then it was never just about the church, it was about those woods. And I can't help but wonder if whatever those security guards heard, whatever whispered, called to them, and attacked them, is still there. Because we know that buildings can burn, they can collapse. But something that old, that deeply rooted in the land, I don't know if that disappears just because the structure is gone. Maybe now, even if you were in those woods alone after the sun went down, I would not be surprised if you'd be hearing and seeing some things. This has been one of the scariest hauntings I have ever covered, I think, on the show. There's just something about being stranded, trapped, deep in isolated, haunted woods. That's it. If I had to describe a nightmare of mine, that would be it. And I just find the tie to the leprosy and what Josh saw, those figures coming towards him with sort of decayed faces, that is just chilling. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode. If you enjoyed it, leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Let me know what you thought about this episode. And if you want bonus episodes of the show, join the Avery After Dark Patreon or memberships on YouTube. Share Avery After Dark with your friends, family, coworkers, on social media. Next episode, I've got so much more mystery coming your way. Until then, this is Avery After Dark.